for the rest of us, partly as a result of my own experience here recently, partly because of a number of conversations that I've had with some of you, partly because we're right here at the beginning of a new year. I mean, I know it's the 9th already. We're a third of the way through the month of January. But as we start here a new year, I want to invite us this morning to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, to turn toward whatever is happening to us or in us or around us. There is a place to return. There is a place that we can begin. There is a place that we can begin again. There is a place to, we could say, to start over. What is a place or a way that travels us back 3,000 years ago? A way that leads us on our way through the trials, the troubles, the struggles, the challenges, a way that it doesn't happen to necessarily change our reality, but it invites us in a way through. We can think of this maybe as a paradigm or a perspective. And so if you have your Bibles, 450 and a Pew Bible, and the words will be on the screen behind me as well. This is probably one that you've maybe even memorized. But I think it's important to remind ourselves that whatever we are facing, right, the hard stuff of life, whatever that challenge is for you right here and right now, there is a pattern, there is a path, there is a way that leads us through. Proverbs 3 and 5 reads of this paradigm, this pattern, beginning with trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Noting again these words founded some 3,000 years ago. They were ascribed to a man by the name of Solomon. Solomon was the son of a king, the son of King David. And when Solomon's father, King David, passed away, Solomon became the third king of Israel. Noting that Solomon is relatively young. Most put his age somewhere around 20, young 20s. I've read as much as 12 years of age. So he's relatively young when he becomes king and has the responsibility of building a temple. And so one night God communicates to him in a dream. And I want to just really quickly go over to 1 Kings. You can stay in Proverbs. The words will be behind me again. But I want to read from 1 Kings, also chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. As kind of a way to get some of the backstory here. So 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, we read, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, 'Ask for whatever you want. Ask for whatever you want me to give you.' Verse 6, Solomon answered, 'You have shown great kindnesses to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on the throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern the great people of yours?' Verse 10, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, 'Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be.'" So here is young Solomon. We can imagine kind of the heaviness of this, right? The weight of ruling a nation, the weight of building this temple. And he says to God, I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. In other words, it's kind of like saying, God, I have no clue what I'm doing. I have no clue what I'm doing here. Right? And in a sense, we could say this is the beginning of a new year. It's a start of a new season. It's certainly a new experience. And we read Solomon, he asks for a discerning heart, and God, he responds, he says, I will do what you have asked, and I will give you, Solomon, I will give you a wise and discerning heart. Now, maybe we don't all feel so young anymore, but we all face into that hard stuff of life, right? Be it that circumstance, that struggle, that illness, right? That challenge. Maybe it's a new year, a new season, a new day. And so how do we navigate that the stuff of life, the hard stuff of life? Again, noting that it does not necessarily mean everything changes. Right? What's going on around may not change, but it invites us into a way through. Again, a way, a paradigm, a perspective. Proverbs 3 and 5, it begins, trust in the Lord. Solomon starts with trust in the Lord. And in the Hebrew, that word trust literally means to lean into, wholly lean into, completely lean into. Trust in the Lord, lean into the Lord. I remember a number of years ago now, it was actually back in the mid-90s, I had just been diagnosed with complex PTSD as a result of childhood abuse, sexual abuse. And at the same time, I was invited and encouraged then to go to California to do an inpatient treatment for victims, survivors of childhood abuse. I remember, I think it was about a week and a half in or so, they took us out to this spot. It was a beautiful, overlooked the water. And they invited us to do what's called a trust fall. Many of you are probably familiar with that, where they invited us to stand up on a picnic table, at the top of the picnic table, go to the edge, stand, face your back, place your hands across your chest, and lean back into the arms of the group, and the group would catch you. And I remember that was absolutely the most terrifying experience. And yet in some ways, it was also the kind of profoundly freeing. It was deeply emotional in many, many respects. But I think it's that kind of trust, right? What is betach in the Hebrew? This idea of surrender, of letting go. This idea of falling back into the arms of the one who cares for you, the one who holds compassion for you, the one who offers you grace, the one who offers you his very life. Right, a completely leaning into. You might also remember the story of the first tightrope walker. I believe I've shared this a couple of times. The Great Blondine. Right, is 1859, June 30th. He appears at Niagara Falls. He ascends, starts across the wire, gets partway through, stops, balances the pole, does a back somersault. Continues on his way, never one to settle for what was. And so he crosses again. One time the story goes, he was blindfolded. Another time he was on a bicycle. Another time, not sure about this one, but they say he stopped and cooked an egg. But it was then he also announced that he would be back on August 9th. And this time he would carry his manager, Harry Colcord, across. And after that experience, he talked about how difficult that was. And yet even more than that difficulty was the trust that Harry Colcord had to climb up on his back and to be carried across this high wire. This deep trust that he had for the Great Blondine. Right? He didn't just think it, or he didn't just say, you know, yeah, you can do it. But he was willing to get on his back and be carried across this high wire. We could say the high wire of life, right? Trust in the Lord, Solomon writes. Trust in the Lord, completely leaning into, right? Falling back into the arms of the one who holds you dear. Climbing on the back of the one who will carry you across the high wire of life, right? Our path, our way, it always is always to begin. Trust in the Lord. Psalm 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Right? Wholly leaning into. Wherever you're at today, that's where we begin. Whatever your experience, whatever the hard stuff it is that you are facing, whatever, maybe it's a new season, maybe it's just simply a new day. But every day we begin, trust in the Lord, wholly lean into. And then we read, it says, with all of your heart. And I love how one commentary puts it, quote, with all your heart is to concentrate the whole life on the act of contemplation of God. In other words, to place all of you that is you, right? All of you leaning into the person of God, right? Your hope, your faith, your devotion, your commitment. The story is told of a chicken and a pig. Chicken and a pig, they're crossing the street one day. And they see a building, and on the building there's a sign, and the sign reads, annual fundraiser, ham and egg breakfast. So the chicken says to the pig, hey, that's right up our alley. Why don't we go in and help out? To which the pig replied, that's easy for you to say. For you, that's just a contribution. For me, we are talking total commitment. Right? Trust in the Lord, Solomon says. Wholly leaning into with all your heart. Right? Total commitment. And then we read, lean not on your own understanding. That's from the Hebrew binah. And it means to build or to construct. It also carries this idea of between, this idea of distinguishing between what is true and false, what is right and wrong. And so don't build. Don't build. Don't construct your life on what you think is the right way to go, on how you think things maybe should be. Right? Don't lean into that way of doing life. Don't construct your life in that way, right? Trust in the Lord. Wholly lean into God. With all your heart, complete commitment. Don't lean on your own understanding. Right? Don't construct your life, build your life on your own sense of what is right and wrong, what is true and false, on your own sense of the way things should go. And then verse 6, in all your ways, meaning the totality of your life, right, in every detail, every decision, in all your ways. And then we read, submit to him. Now, I think that word submit many times can be kind of a trigger word. But it's interesting here, the word submit is actually the Hebrew, from the Hebrew word yada. Hopefully that sounds a little bit familiar to some of you. It's the same one that when we looked at Psalm 46 and 10, and I don't remember when this was, but be still and know that I am God, right? Be still and yada. Be still and yada that I am God. And it really speaks of a deep knowing. It's this idea of to know and to be known. And so we read submit, and we maybe get one sense of what that is, but yada has a profound meaning to it, a much deeper sense of intimacy. In fact, remember yada in the Septuagint is in the Greek is gnosko. Gnosko is a Jewish idiom for sexual intimacy. Right? It's this idea of closeness, of intimacy, of oneness, of unity. Right? So here it's speaking primarily not of an intellectual sort of idea, but it much more an experience of the heart, inviting us into that deeper relationship. Trust in the Lord, Solomon says. Lean into, wholly lean into, completely lean into God. Put your hands across your chest and fall back into his loving arms. Right? Climb on his back. Let him carry you across the high wire of life. Whatever it is that you are facing, right? With all your heart, total commitment. Right? Don't build, don't construct your life on your own sense of what is the way to go. Right? But in all your ways, right? Seek intimacy with God. Be with Him. Cultivate, we could say cultivate a deep holistic relationship with Him. And He, it says, and God will make your paths straight. Noting this last stanza, this final stanza is a promise, right? Also noting here the phrase we will make straight. It comes from the Hebrew word yeshau. And it's also used in Isaiah 45 and 2, where it simultaneously means to make the crooked places straight, to level the mountains, to make the rough places smooth. Trust in the Lord. Right? That's the invitation, no matter where you find yourself today, no matter what is going on, to you, in you, around you, whatever that circumstance is, whatever that illness, whatever that ache, whatever that challenge, right? Solomon says, trust in the Lord, wholly lean into Him, fall back, let Him carry you across. Total commitment. Not constructing, not building your way on the way that you think, not building your life on the way that you think it should go. Right? But in everything, yada. Right? This intimacy with God. Cultivating a deep, holistic intimacy with God. And in that space then, right, He will make the crooked places straight. He will level the mountains. He will make the rough places smooth. And so with that, I want to invite us into a time of just stillness together. And I want to invite us to consider, where are we, where are you, where are we, me, you, placing our trust? We could ask, on what or on whom am I leaning? And we can think here of in the good times when things are going well, or in the times of deep struggle, the times when we feel like we're barely treading water. Right, whatever the stuff of life, a new challenge, a new struggle, a new illness, whatever that is, where am I placing my trust? Who am I leaning into? We could ask, on what or whom, on whom am I building or constructing my life? On what or on whom am I building, constructing my life? And then with that, what would it look like to trust God in every facet of my life? Right, because it's one thing to say, yes, I trust God, kind of as a holistic sort of as a statement. But what about with my finances? What about with my future? What about with that relationship? What about with that struggle, that challenge? What about in that place of brokenness? What about in that place of woundedness? What would it look like to trust God in that area of my life? And with that to close then, I want to ask, how might I cultivate a deep, holistic relationship with God? In other words, what might it look like for me to yada with Him? Because no matter what is happening to us, in us, around us, there is that place to return, to begin again. There is that place that we can start over. And it's right now, in this moment. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight.